Hello, and welcome back to These Are Bad Movies. I'm Amy Bell.
And I'm Amanda Ferriante.
And we have a very special guest who's going to introduce himself because...
He needs to.
Yeah. Apparently. This is a man who needs some introduction.
Do it.
Oh, apparently. Hello, everyone. Call me Puck. I've done several projects, which neither of the hosts know me from. First is I wrote a book called Mishaps of a White Boy, and then I do, and we'll call it an adult audio podcast once in a while, where I'm known as Mildly Incognito.
Yeah.
And by adult, we mean really explicit audio.
Yeah, don't look me up unless you're that curious.
And so we forced him onto our show.
And thought he would be a really good guest to discuss First Blood.
The Rambo story. We're going to watch the first Rambo.
Yeah. I am really excited for this movie.
I think it'll be fun.
I think it'll be so bad.
I don't know. I might like it. I don't know.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Well, that is the same for me. But I warn you, since you're dragging me into this kicking and screaming, I am totally going to bomb this with Hot Shots references. So, woo!
I don't know Hot Shots.
What?
I have not seen Rambo. I don't think I've heard of Hot Shots.
Oh my gosh, Hot Shots. It's so much more fun to watch than Rambo.
But we're watching Rambo.
We are, but now I feel like you need to also watch Hot Shots.
Maybe another day.
Maybe we need to do this in tandem, where we watch Rambo, and then we have to just add on the Hot Shots, at least a couple of previews.
I could watch a trailer for Hot Shots.
Probably. That would probably cover all of Hot Shots. Yeah.
We agree.
Absolutely.
We concur.
Yeah, Bargain you can watch struck. The trailer for
we
Hot
have
Shots.
An oral contract.
Oral contract. Mm-hmm. Set.
Stop.
I'm not even the one misbehaving here. Oh, goodness.
All right. So here is, like, I haven't seen this since I was a kid. I haven't seen it as an adult, but all I can think of is Rambo equals badass. And then you like tie a bandana around your forehead and you mean serious business.
When I think of Rambo, I think of the movie Son of Rambo, which I have seen.
I don't know the movie Son of Rambo.
It's about this British kid who's like in a weird stage in his like middle school age or something, and all of the kids are like, Rambo's so badass, and they decide to film their own version of Rambo.
That sounds really cute.
I remember it being touching, 'cause like he ends up filming with like his bully or something, and like father issues because like his dad's not in the picture. It's a whole thing. It was part of my full weekend family hazing movie.
Oh,
marathon.
Oh, the nightmare.
Yes.
Escape of movies. Yeah, Rambo is such a piece of culture, isn't it? I mean, it's really entered into.
You disagree, Paul?
I disagree.
It hasn't.
You don't think it has, like, yeah.
No, it does.
Defend yourself.
Okay. It is definitely culture, but it's like cheesy culture that no one really wants to remember. It's like
people
Sylvester
remember Rambo. That's why we have the whole like Stallone and Chuck Norris in a movie franchise.
Oh, like, I know, but it's just like
we're not saying it's good culture.
No, okay, that's fair. I guess I'm not considering it like high class culture.
No, it's just part of the culture.
Yeah,
it's fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's like great 80s cheese is what I remember it as.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
bow and arrow blow stuff up, and like here's another action movie.
So okay, having said all of that, reading the description of the movie, just reading what it's supposed to be about, this movie should be very sad.
Yes, it should be.
And I don't remember this movie being very sad, but the story is like man with PTSD flips out and starts killing people that he's not supposed to.
This is why the movie appeals to me.
Yeah. And I'm really curious as to whether in 1982 they actually did a nice job of presenting a nuanced look at the effects of war on the, like, forgotten veteran and all of that stuff. And all of America just went, blow stuff up! We're cool! I'm gonna wear a headband! Like,
Rambo 2.
Was it...
The story continues.
Was it them or was it us? That's what I'd like to know.
So, really, I think this is coming down to the Vietnam veterans. Like, when they were welcomed back, I mean, they were just... They got kicked from all sides. They went to a war they didn't want to be in. They came back to protesters. And, like, even today, seeing them, like, the greeting you give them as veterans is welcome home, because they didn't get that when they came back from a war. So stuff like Rambo was a reintroduction of that generation to society as we took the military image and built back up the idea of the hero.
And this is why you're on the podcast.
Oh, no.
Well, let's watch.
But is it a good way to build up the picture of a hero?
Does it do it right?
See,
and is this what we should call heroic?
See, I'm going to go with the no, and that's why I don't, like, absolutely love Rambo. Like, don't get me wrong. It's a good cheesy flick.
Well, you haven't seen it in a while. You could love it.
Because this also gets to the thing of, like, the backlash against the Vietnam veteran, who were largely people that went there against their will. Mm-hmm. It was a completely stolen generation that was sent to fight a really quagmire-setting war. And then they came home, and they were treated like absolute crap when they had no choice to be there, and how the realization of how that was a really wrong of us as a society to treat these young people that had been stolen, had their youth stolen, to go to this war. And then we use that as a reason to have some of the most blind military deference. That is not, like, it. They overcorrected. And I'm wondering where this movie fits in on that continuum.
I'm going to guess bad.
I'm going to guess bad, too.
Oh, definitely bad.
All right.
But I want to watch it.
I really want to watch it, too.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. All right, we're back.
I had fun.
Apparently Rambo is Amanda's, and I quote here, perfect movie, which was, you said it, you can't take it back. I don't even know what to think about this whole thing. It's probably our last episode.
I said part of the way through, it might be my perfect movie, and it still might be.
What? Why?
It checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah. She just likes watching people have a bad time.
I do like watching people have a bad time. I also enjoy survival aspects in film.
Oh my.
What?
No, this is like man with PTSD gets beaten up by
he's
the world.
He's having a very bad time.
He's having a very bad time. That's her character that she likes, is having a very bad time.
Barely cognizant of the world around him. Let's punch him again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why the ladder would have been a step too far. If the ladder also, contributed to the damage, it would have been too much, which is why the ladder was the thing that got the biggest response out of me.
Yeah, yeah. He's climbing a ladder, and she just goes, no! And everybody's just like, what? And she's like, that ladder is terrible!
It was a very bad ladder.
And we're just looking at each other like, oh,
in any other movie, okay, one of those rungs would have broken, you know, falling 20 feet, whatever.
But he would have been shafted a second time.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
So who should do the plot?
Well, I feel like the plot is actually pretty basic.
It is.
So John Rambo is up someplace in...
Hope? Oregon?
Oregon? Yeah, in Oregon.
Or Washington?
Or Pacific North.
He's heading to Seattle.
West.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he is checking in on one of his
war buddies.
War buddies. and finds out that they've died from cancer from Agent Orange, and, you know, goes back into town, and the local sheriff just sees him walking around and goes, "I don't like the look of this guy. Can I give you a ride straight out of town and never come back?" And he gets in the car and takes said ride out of town, and then turns around and walks back the same way that they had just came, for reasons that are not clear.
You can't keep him out. What are you going to do? Arrest him?
Which is what they do.
Yeah.
And then they are really abusive to him. They've arrested him. They're, like, abusing him in the jail cell. And he breaks free and is on the lam and does some really badass motorcycle drive-in with some equally, you know, entertaining cop car catching air country road chases a la Dukes of Hazzard. And he goes out into the woods and basically just starts killing cops.
They do.
Who keep chasing him because he's a fugitive. He's broken out of jail.
Point of contention, he never actually killed anybody
in the movie.
They said that the first
they
guy died.
They blamed it on him. The guy fell off the helicopter.
Oh, okay.
He did throw the rock, though, that disrupted the helicopter.
But
so
it was the unsteadiness after the rock was thrown. And then the guy falls off the helicopter.
Yeah. Okay, so
they blamed it on him because otherwise,
well, but that's what the law would do. I mean,
I
that's actually,
I know,
that's actually how the law works.
I know.
But
also, I got issues.
Oh, I've got issues too, because they basically give the reason for him breaking out of jail and doing this as having a PTSD style flashback to being a prisoner of war. And they're treating him badly in this jail cell, and he freaks out and leaves. And it's very much implied that he is dissociated from reality, mm-hmm. and has, he's seeing them as the enemy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they're behaving like the enemy.
They are, but also he deliberately spares all their lives, showing that he did not, in fact, think they were the enemy.
Yeah, they do have some issues as far as
continuity of what
his
the motivation
exact
is.
Perspective is at any given time in the film.
See, I'm just going for the general motivation is I'm going to look good on screen in an action flick.
Oh, 100%.
Check.
Yeah. And none. Check.
Yes.
You know, again, I'm oftentimes surprised when I watch older movies like, dang! Mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I can watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. But it's deep social commentary, isn't it?
It's like they tried for half a minute.
Yeah.
And so they are chasing him through the woods, and he keeps incapacitating them in various ridiculous ways, including, like, setting traps and, like, garroting someone to a post and, like, I don't know. Then he goes down a mine shaft and, like,
he's setting up camp,
spelunking with rats. And that Amanda really liked the rats too.
I've grown that ticked
a massive box for Amanda too. It's like, guy has bad time. Lots of survivalists. Oh my gosh, there's rats. They're swimming. Oh my gosh, rats were harmed in the making of this film.
Yes, they were.
And she still enjoys it.
Well, okay. First of all, they weren't rats. They were lab mice dyed brown. I don't know why. But no, the rats were harmed. And
they were rats. Instances
killed the mice. Yeah. No good.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, they
squeezed, thrown,
aww.
Burned.
Squeak, squeaker, dead then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And then they think they've killed him when he goes into the mine shaft because the National Guard is, like, hilariously inept. Like, clear. Like, somebody on this film had a bone to pick with the National Guard.
Oh, we still do today. Oh.
Yeah, but are you filmmakers with big opinions about the National Guard,
yeah.
which is supposed to be, like, the flood relief force.
Not relieving any floods in this movie.
Yeah.
Instead, using rocket launchers.
oh, so many National Guard are stuff like infantry, though. And yes, they do assist in operations with stuff like FEMA for flood relief and disaster relief in general. Mm-hmm. But no, like, I mean, they're still soldiers. It's just...
Yeah, I feel like most often these days, I say these days, I'm not thinking of flood relief. I'm thinking of the National Guard getting called into whatever city that's having protests at the moment.
Yeah, they have been. I don't think they're called in as much as people think they are in protests. They are still deployed largely to disaster relief because they're not
full time.
No, they're not a national force. They're a state force.
It's in the name.
They're the standing army of your state.
Oh.
Yeah. Places they do get called in quite often are places like DC where something bigger could happen. Mm-hmm. And then they're actually trained for stuff like riots and yeah, but I don't know, too often undergeared and just situations that I don't know that the National Guard are best suited for.
Yeah.
Is it a matter of just like speed of deployment?
No, not necessarily.
It's jurisdiction. Okay. Because you can't deploy the United States Army on citizens.
It does look bad, doesn't it?
Well, I believe it's just not even allowed. But the National Guard is a state force.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, state force. They have situations in which they can operate, but I mean, all of our major forces do.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, these people had a bone to pick with the National Guard. But they fired a rocket at Rambo, and so they thought they killed him, but really he was in the rat mine with his knife torch.
Best part of the mine. Made me so happy.
He had so many bandanas to keep wrapping around that thing, too.
He was tearing off the tarp that he stole from the moonshine abandoned operation.
Amanda was really into this movie. Anyway...
It's very industrious.
So finally, they've left him alone in the woods, and he just because they think he's dead, but he decides to like come out of the woods and attack the whole town. And in the meantime, the cops think that they're the best at, you know, handling this is my jurisdiction. And the colonel's coming from the military and like, that's my boy. I made that boy. And I'm gonna go get him so that I can save you from him. And they're acting. Like, no, no.
I want to be the one who puts him down.
I want to be the one who puts him down, despite the fact that like he keeps completely routing us at every turn. Anyway, he blows up a bunch of town and then shoots up the police department. And then Colonel Mann comes in there and like, this operation's over, son. It's done. You're done, son. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just need a hug. And they hug it out. And then he turns himself in.
You know, it is proof that this is a classic American message. If you're white and you surrender peacefully, you can walk out after having blown up a town.
Boom!
Oh!
Please, hey, please don't drop my mics like that.
Oh.
Oh, man.
That is just one of the many problems with this movie, though. This is another one of those, like...
The metaphor fails.
Worse than I expected it to be. Like, type of movies.
It was better than I expected it to be, purely.
You were just having
standpoint.
A good time.
Yes, I was having a much better time than anticipated.
Amanda, you're what's wrong with America.
This I can acknowledge.
So can we.
All right. Does anybody want to start with their... Who's got a really good gripe about this movie?
Okay.
Yes, please go, Puck.
It is killing me, the National Guard still. I know we talked about them already. They couldn't walk in a formation. They couldn't, anyone in this movie, no one understood weapon discipline. They always had it pointed up in the air or at their buddies.
Fun fact, this was largely filmed in Canada, and so they had to go through customs to get the weapons for the movie into Canada, and the weapons were fitted to only shoot blanks. But a significant portion of them were stolen from set. And so, in fact, part of filming was protected by the Canadian Guard. And several of, or a portion of that, were extras in the movie.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
And yet no one knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
With the
Continue.
So the other thing that I, like, okay, my beginning gripe was how cheesy this was. And in retrospect, because, yeah, I hadn't seen this since I was really young. So we're talking like 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. It is, what, 37 years old now for the movie?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were
No, it's 1982.
Yourself.
This movie is older than you. Take that.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And yeah, 37 didn't quite hit that mark, did it?
No, it didn't. Wow.
It's like, you don't need to lie about your age on here. What is that?
No. Okay, that's fair. So, yes, the movie predates me by a year.
But now you're dating yourself.
Now I am. And I am the most wonderful date I've ever had. Good vintage.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, now, for... I thought it was really cheesy going into this from what I remember, and I have to admit, I was confusing it with Hot Shots.
Oh, me too. So yeah, much. Yeah.
So much. But yeah, like, the social commentary that they were going for, which I was mentioning about Vietnam veterans, of how they just weren't welcome home. Mm-hmm. They got, you know, screwed on both ends of their deployments. Like, it seemed that's what they were trying to cling to, but they lost it.
It seemed to me like they were trying, they weren't, they were using it. They mm-hmm. weren't making, they weren't supporting a message for that. They weren't like supporting the veterans or something with it. They were using that, what happened to them, to tell a really poorly, poorly put together character story.
Mm-hmm.
Not disagreeing, but you could still take it as a metaphor of mistreated veteran goes on war against America.
Well, I mean, there's several ways to read, like, metaphors into this, but none of them really quite work. Like, you can see it as being the mistreated veteran. You could see it as being, like, he's a stand-in for Vietnam, like, the war tactics he uses on home territory and how they're super effective despite him being picked on unjustly and et cetera, right? Like, there's different ways to read it, but none of them quite work.
You know, I'm just thinking about this. Part of why they don't work to me is that they relied so heavily on those PTSD-based flashbacks at the beginning.
It's not sympathetic.
But I will also say, in 1982, the general public, and therefore the people who make the big air quotes here, art.
I thought it was art.
I know you did. It's okay.
I'm not saying it's good art.
I know. It really wasn't well understood what PTSD really was. And I mean, I don't even know where we are at the continuation between when we were calling it shell shock.
Mm-hmm.
Into what our modern understanding of how trauma affects brains.
I think currently it's actually PTS. They've removed the disorder from the DSM-5, I think, in the naming of it.
Well, that's really weird because I thought disorder was just acknowledging that the normal reaction became a problem in your daily life.
So I'll admit for the PTSD part, I haven't heard that about them dropping the D.
I haven't verified. That's just something I've heard.
Okay, yeah. So, like, all recent research I've seen, and that's even within the past year. Sorry.
I heard it somewhere. I'm going to verify now. I'm going to find out.
Please, please do, because I'm actually curious about that. I know that sounds awful, but I have read so many psychology reports on PTSD, and that's not even my area of interest.
Same, but not in the past year.
Yeah. So, I think that's part of what makes the metaphor lie flat, though, is that they did use... what we would clearly recognize now as a traumatic response. Let's be really couching our terms there. A trauma response. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, like, forgot that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it was holding together reasonably well, I think, until about the last 20 minutes, and then it just... face planted.
Oh, see, I thought they lost it when they showed him, like, basically thinking that these were the enemy and then not killing them once they went out to get him. Like, it was really clear early on that he knew what was going on.
Hmm.
He wasn't experiencing a psychotic break of some sort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I just want to be out of this. They drew first blood.
Oh my word. Amanda really wants to know the status of that D.
Oh, yeah.
She's still looking for this.
This is correct. Searching for the D.
Have we found the D yet?
So apparently, in some academic circles, they're trying to make a case for post-traumatic stress without the disorder bit to help vets and other people who might be diagnosed around stigma. But that's not anything that's happened officially.
Yeah, because it's the disorder word, that not like the entire mental health industry in general. I mean, our country, and let's be real, whenever there's anything that's like, oh, you know, therapy's not masculine, the military is going to be even worse than the general population. Like, taking the D out. I mean, the military tried that already, and it didn't work for them.
It didn't, did it? This is an audio format. You can't just shake your head.
Yeah, you could never take the D out of the Navy.
The Navy specifically. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just the Navy, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. Powdered soap.
Whoa. Deep cut.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, they didn't really have...
No.
They didn't address it here, but also it was 1982. Maybe 1982. They just didn't quite have the understanding for it.
And it's based on a 1972 novel.
Ooh.
In the novel, it was bats. Instead of rats.
Oh.
Major difference.
Well, they couldn't probably catch and squeeze them to death.
Yeah.
Harder. Smash them against a wall.
Yeah. Harder to get that to work on camera.
Okay.
But the novel also seemed much worse than the movie, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Just based on reading the plot in Wikipedia.
Like, okay, what, like what?
It is more of a man pride battle than depicted in the film. Like, both the sheriff and Rambo are like gunning for each other very specifically. Like, that's how the book ends, is they both like take each other out, like, and like satisfaction at being each other's doom kind of stuff. Not as good. And in fact, part of the reason it was 10 years before the movie got made is because a bunch of studios wanted to try it, but the first script that was deemed good enough to actually start production on was the one that Stallone contributed to.
Huh.
Like, he made it much better than it was, actually.
You know, I'm just thinking, did we actually cover the National Guard thing you wanted to talk about?
I think we did.
Okay. Maybe. We've talked a lot about the National Guard.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to see if we needed to bring the National Guard back into this here.
Okay.
Only for crowd control.
Oof. Oh.
Three is a crowd.
If three is a crowd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my biggest issue, I guess it's not really, like, the beginning part, aside from just the PTSD bit, they actually depicted what you see playing out with police departments today when they see homeless people,
mm-hmm.
many of whom are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disproportionate number of veterans who are homeless. Also a disproportionate number of assistance programs for homeless people only allow vets to qualify. Like, it's very value judgy. Because they know that they're being really unfair to these veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wind up making this, like, the good kind of homeless person.
You have an excuse.
Yeah. It's almost like, can't let them go Rambo on us.
Well, so many of the homeless veteran programs are run by the VA and then associated groups. So, I mean, there's a special interest there. And I guess it's like trying to take care of the home team.
Oh, no, no, no. Like, homeless veteran charities started in Bob's Garage are like a dime a dozen. It is bananas how many people are like, well, this is like, we've got one in Kansas City that's like tiny homes for homeless veterans.
Not run by the VA.
No, that's Private Run. I don't know. Like, just a lot of, like, the VA running programs for veterans is like, yes.
That makes sense.
That is mm-hmm. your job. Good job, VA, doing the job you were told to do. Keep doing that job.
But apparently not enough for all these other yeah. programs to feel like they have to step in.
Well, the VA is just historically not...
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any of the things...
Mm-hmm.
The, well, any of the promises made are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
They have gotten better over the years, admittedly. Like, yes, they definitely...
No, they've gone up and down. I would say, I don't know that you get to say they've gotten better.
User
they've gone up,
dependent.
Down, up, down.
One person's experience with the VA may be totally different than their neighbor's.
Yes, I completely agree with that. But I'm basing it on their very early reputation. Some
oh,
the,
yeah.
yeah. Some of it is completely earned. I'm not trying to say mm-hmm. or excuse them in any way.
40 years ago, the VA was much worse.
Yeah. Curves happen. Curves happen. But a lot of policy prevents the VA from being better. Like, not all veterans are eligible for the VA. You could be in the Guard Reserve, retire after 20 years, and just because you haven't deployed overseas... not eligible for care.
Jeez Louise.
So, yeah, like, big facts about the VA that people forget.
Or just are never made aware of because it's never applicable to them.
Well, true. But because there's so many problems with the VA, it's also a large part of what people point to when they try to say that, see, nationalized healthcare can't work. And the problem is that that's never been mm-hmm. what the VA is.
Also, no.
It does provide healthcare. It has multiple branches. So you have the VHA, which is healthcare mm-hmm. and provides it. But, I mean, yeah, the examples of what they point out that are bad, it's like, actually, some of this is really good for veterans. But at the same time, they're very slow to catch up on programs. Like, you have the Burn Pit Registry, for instance, with all of our Iraq, Afghanistan veterans, and they're just now getting funding. And that stuff was happening in, you know, early 2000s through, we'll say about, well, you know, it went on for a while until we pulled out terribly, terribly, terribly.
The worst pullout.
Yeah. The
I'm
worst.
I'm sorry. We have a guest. I have to bring it up a notch, you know.
I know. This is just out of control here.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to slam on the VA. I do think they're doing great things, but...
Could be better.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. Well, I think there's a big difference between slamming the way the VA is run and slamming the people who spend their time working there.
Or the concept, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's very deliberately underfunded, and so much of the... well, they stopped doing the draft, right? Mm-hmm. I mean... And honestly, Rambo probably wasn't drafted to be an elite like he was. That was probably someone who went in and actually, like, gunned for this, you know. But they don't do the draft anymore. So now they always have all these, like, perks incentives that they try to draw people in on. And they're repeatedly not meeting the promises they make to get people in the door.
We had... people we went to law school with who were supposed to be, you know, law schools paid for because of their service, and delays on tuition getting paid. I knew people even before law school. It's like, yeah, I'm waiting for my check. It's been months, you know, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And the VA is just one of those things where they... It's not that it's not a good concept or that it's not
the execution.
Like people are who choose to work for it or are not doing good things. But to me, it's another example of the government not taking quite as seriously as they should mm-hmm. the promises that they make to people to get them in the door.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like public service loan forgiveness. It is. It's exactly like that. They have been enticing. I think every millennial has lived with this, where the government tries to entice you mm-hmm. with things that we're learning more and more they never had any intention of paying off.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, so they're not spitting on people who come home from war anymore, but they are telling them things like, you know, you're just entitled and you're, you know, this is freeloading. They are really happy to tell you that the things that you were promised by your government mm-hmm. are not things that you actually deserve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, promises, good things. I think we need to talk about Sylvester Stallone in this role. Specifically, it is the perfect one for him. He didn't have more than three lines.
I've seen him in movies where he has significant lines where he's done very well. I say movie. I've seen him in movie.
Movie? Which movie?
Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a comedy. Ah. It's fantastic.
I really loved that Sylvester Stallone was one of the... was credited as a writer.
He did!
For the script. Yeah,
he did.
Because he is, like, nearly silent most of the movie.
Well, he changed a lot of the plot. Mm-hmm. Like, he changed it to make it, in my opinion, a better story, not having read the novel.
All right, what did he change that made it better?
The motivations of the characters.
I have no idea whether they were supposed to be having a psychotic break.
Yeah.
Or if he was just, like, swinging it around and sword fighting with the sheriff.
It was, like, no. It was much clearer in the book that it was a lot like man versus man, like ego-ness.
Yeah.
But also, not to do with the writing credit, but more the edit, which he was not responsible for. But apparently the first edit of this movie was 3 to 3.5 hours long and significantly worse, to the point that Stallone and his agent were like, you cannot release this. Burn it. And the 93-minute version is much better than apparently that, because it didn't get burned, right? Like, they did what so many other people fail to do and cut the crap.
That's yeah.
Right? Like,
because that movie did not need anything else. There is nothing that needed to be in there.
No.
I mean, so maybe there were things that didn't need to stay in there.
Yeah.
I think the latter needed to fail. Seriously.
It would have been in keeping with most film, in my opinion.
It would have.
It was a little surprising that it didn't, actually.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. No. For how good the movie is, I give credit to Stallone.
I'm hearing you use the word good very liberally.
Well,
right now.
I mean, it's a scale, isn't it? It could have been much, much worse.
Oh, no. No. I call your bluff here. You said this may still be Amanda's perfect movie.
Not to say it's a perfect movie, but maybe a perfect movie for me. Right? Amanda's perfect movie. It just ticked a lot of boxes back off, okay?
Amanda has found her 10 of 10.
I mean, I haven't seen such bizarre misery on film in a while. And it is very good for me.
It was the crotch garrote thing, wasn't it?
There was a crotch garrote? What?
It was a spiky do, and then there was the garrote. They were next to each other.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I'm getting them. Like,
no, yeah, no one's crotch got garroted. That's a different podcast.
Oh. Low blow.
Not that low. So...
I just can't wait for the moment where somebody asks you, so what's your favorite movie? And you go, oh, First Blood, the Rambo story, or however.
Actually, I would retitle it John Rambo's Not Good, Very Bad Day. through my clicking of links on the Wikipedia pages, I reached an incredibly short Wikipedia page that made me go, huh, interesting.
I just... Like, okay. I'm putting this on your bio. Favorite movie. First Blood, Rambo.
No. John Rambo's No Good, Very Bad Day. What would be your alternate title?
Oh, no. I want it to be very just... I'm a really big fan of First Blood, 1982.
I am.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece, really, of human suffering and rats.
There's a lot of human and rat suffering depicted in this film. The The linked wiki article is for carnography, and I saw that word and went click.
No, I would see that word and go nope.
It's an interesting concept, which I think is the perfect one to bring to this particular episode, given our guest. Refers to excessive or extended scenes of carnage, violence, and gore.
I was picturing vore.
No, that's called vore, Amy.
Get it right. I know, but some people could try to be highbrow about it.
No.
carnography.
So it continues like,
you know, carnivores.
That's what I was thinking, actually, yes. Initially when I clicked on
and
the
link. And you clicked on it.
It was part of the movie research.
You sicko.
Well, anyhow.
Research.
Referring to an obsession with the human body that, quote, suggests a connection between horror and pornography, which I've seen supposed before, right? This isn't a horror film traditionally. Although it is pretty horrific.
It sounds to me like vore actually falls under that same category, actually.
It could, yes. But vore is a very specific... It's about the consumption.
Yes. We don't need to have an episode about it.
I'll find
you it. You clicked the link, not me.
It's been described as, quote, nastily impure work.
Like, Puck didn't even click this link. What is it?
He didn't go.
This is exactly what someone who's like, my favorite movie is First Blood would do.
Well, different meaning if we do it that
plot.
Way.
Like, the plot is pointless. It's simply for the carnage. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I'm making direct eye contact with Amy right now.
No, you don't understand. Before today, your favorite movie was Josie and the Pussycat.
It hasn't been Josie.
And now it's Rambo First Blood.
Oh, she's fallen from grace here. Then again, it was Josie and the Pussycats.
I've had more than one favorite movie in my lifetime. Okay.
She's a true connoisseur of cinema.
Emphasis on the sin. Well, and like the last line of this like two-paragraph article, literally two paragraphs, is pornography and carnography share the feature of close, intimate physical contact, whether it be to caress or to attack. Like, it's the most bizarre short article I've ever seen.
And it's like they never heard the word sadism.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like,
it's like, what it, huh. Interesting this article exists.
I guess they don't understand that sadism is a word on itself that is derived from the writings of Sod.
Yeah, but like I guess they're like, you could like, I don't know, go to Pornhub and find like a sadism section, I imagine. I don't know.
Okay, you're both looking at me like I'm the expert here.
You are.
Okay, within legal bounds, yes, they do have sadistic sections.
Yes,
but
thank you.
BDSM.
But like, as far as like mainstream Hollywood features.
I know, but look at, he said BDSM.
Yeah.
That's why they're missing that sadism had that body violence.
Yeah.
In a way that like BDSM is not what sadism actually was.
So maybe the difference here.
Yeah.
Where they
they've been reinvented a word that was already there.
But maybe like there's a kind of puerile interest in action film, I suppose, but that doesn't mean it's sexual.
Oh no, why would it be?
Well, I'm thinking of Mortal Kombat. It doesn't necessarily. Amy,
what,
like Mortal Kombat?
What about Mortal Kombat?
I don't think you're going to defend this in Mortal Kombat.
I don't think you're going to make this any better by taking it into Mortal Kombat territory.
Was the spine rip a sex thing?
Okay.
For viewers of that movie?
One of the ways to finish them was through bestiality. So let's stop right there.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about Mortal Kombat, apparently.
Oh, wait. No. Oh, crap. No, that probably needs cut.
Whoa.
We haven't... You didn't... Amanda is taking this into territory. Sorry, that I don't
I just think it's
she,
interesting.
Like, you read a lot of Tumblr, but you're not ready to go down this path.
Do you know something about Mortal Kombat that I don't?
I completely misnamed something. Okay. Now I'm looking it up.
It was a failed pun.
It was a very, very failed pun.
Okay.
Oh, no, I wasn't wrong. Mortal Kombat 3 that introduced bestiality.
What?
Yeah, now, okay.
What?
Yeah, no, they had a...
Whoa.
They meant animality. I think that...
What?
Hold on.
This is so confusing.
Okay.
Why did you take this here?
It seemed that...
Why are we here?
It seemed
that... Why are we living in this moment with this conversation?
It seemed like if it was ever going to happen, it would have to happen in this episode.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Why, though? No. No.
Sometimes things are interesting.
No.
On an academic
no.
level.
No. No.
I think film theory is very cool.
You never get to say things like film theory again after being like, my favorite movie is Rambo. Like...
Just for you, Amy, it is my favorite movie.
I know it is. It's decided. Don't worry.
It's okay. And I still love the social messaging.
This is not the outcome that I expected from this episode, y'all.
You know, it's in it.
Well, what did you expect about a movie where the mentally ill person is more competent than the police?
You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to talk about how we're doing this on the weekend of Veterans Day.
He's my favorite vet.
And how Veterans Day used to be Armistice Day, and we used to celebrate peace, and now we, quote-unquote, celebrate veterans, but clearly also we don't, do we?
No.
Hey, we get those free...
But we don't have Peace Day anymore.
They replaced it.
They did, but now we get free apps at Applebee's.
You don't just get free apps at Applebee's on Veterans Day. I've seen a vet... pull some shenanigans, getting like free ice cream, free appetizers, not holiday related. Like, nah, dude, it's not just Veterans Day.
No, it is a good day to honor veterans.
Well,
and...
yeah, but they do take it as like, if you don't give them a free appetizer, you hate America. It's like, there are some other things we could do besides crappy Applebee's.
like getting paid on time. Like,
not being homeless. Like,
just so many things.
True. But I mean, okay, yes, I do miss Armistice Day, but like, I don't know, that there is something about honoring vets and the service, but yeah, I feel like there's better things we could do.
Yeah. Well, and like, there's people can have different motivations for enlisting. Like, we have heard some things out of local kids about how, like, it'd be cool to go fight for Ukraine because they're so good at Call of Duty. And it's like, sounds like you just want to shoot people, and that's the end of the motivation.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
Like, not everyone joins for the same reasons.
Also, I just find these we have really performative veteran support.
Yes.
You're not allowed to criticize the military. You're not allowed to criticize veterans programs. There's a lot of you have to be, you know, in lockstep with the national line.
Mm-hmm.
And it, in fact, has done very little to fulfill the promises made to largely working class people.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, there's been whole decades now where that was, you can't afford college, you're unemployable. This is what you need to go do.
Yeah.
What other option do you have?
Yeah.
You know, you better fulfill those promises, because they didn't get to go to college and they didn't get to have good trades. So No, follow through on it. Stop with all this performative, we can't criticize anything nonsense, and actually do something for the people that you keep taking in and spitting out damage, honestly.
Yeah. It's...
And hell, let's have Peace Day sometime. Can we have Peace Day?
I don't...
Isn't that when Valentine's?
Did that change?
No. What? No. There's... That... No.
Oh, wrong kind of peace.
No. Maybe. Also, no.
The implications. When did that change from Armistice Day to Veterans Day happen?
Oh, it was... Well, obviously, November 11th.
After World War II?
In 1921, they buried an unknown American soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. And I guess this is when the ceremony kind of started. But I think in... Oh, here it is. The first celebration, though, using the term Veterans Day, occurred in Birmingham, Alabama in 1947 for Raymond's Week.
Yeah.
For that, World War II veteran organized for National Veterans Day.
Yeah, so I've never celebrated Armistice Day.
No. It happened after World War II, and it was kind of because Armistice Day was on the day that World War I ended, so after World War II was a big thing, the idea of celebrating end of World War I was kind of weird.
There's no point in having an Armistice Day when we're always at war.
That's true. I think we've always been at war in my life.
But they also tried to make it seem like Veterans Day and Memorial Day covered it. But they don't. Because it's not just about whether the service person is currently living or deceased. It's actually, you know, not at war was also the celebration there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if you go by technical definition, we haven't been at war this entire time. But then we had the War on Terror. And it's like, okay, what the hell?
We were very, very, very small amounts of times not at war.
Yeah, but we've always had some sort of conflict, even while we were, quote unquote, not at war.
I mean, I'm sure it feels like war.
Well, you know, we're talking about, like, Kosovo wasn't a war. Right?
I've never heard of this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like...
She's just such a different age.
She really is.
Kosovo was happening when we were in high school. And it was the Armenian genocide. It was Bill Clinton sent tactical strikes on... Armenian or...
No, it's never come up.
Not Armenian. It was the ethnic Albanians were being genocided in Kosovo.
Yeah, this is the news to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big deal.
I'm not surprised.
And this was Slobodan Milosevic, I believe.
Yeah, I don't remember the details of that one. I just know so many missions that we had where it went south, like Black Hawk Down, and like you could name them. So
yeah, well, yeah. If it's big enough, there's been a movie.
Kosovo didn't go south. But I don't let them. You don't get to wordsmith out of the fact that you've got military action for me, because. Technically,
like being on foreign soil with soldiers, shooting, killing, like
because Vietnam was never formalized as a declaration of war.
They're still vets.
Yeah, I thought we never formalized our like a surrender. Like we still today, I think it was a formal declaration of war to a degree. Like we were assisting, but
it wasn't like ratified by Congress. Like it was kind of It did not go through the full formal process.
A ghost war.
Okay, a ghost war.
But what difference does it make? That's my point. What difference does it make?
Oh.
Also, you have the whole, like, Korean War never ended. We're just having a ceasefire that's lasted for 70 years now.
Eh, Cold War wasn't much better.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But, like, Vietnam wasn't a Cold War.
And Korea wasn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, the war in Korea was never declared over. So you have that. I don't know.
military action.
Conflict. That we are actively involved in as the United States.
You see what you have done to us, Rambo. You've put us in conflict.
He's never done anything wrong in his life.
Never.
Never.
This is going to be unbearable. Amanda post Rambo is now something that I just wish I'd have never met.
Rambo's the new wolf man.
Oh my gosh.
Call me Rambo. No, don't. I don't want that.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Anyway.
I feel like we've covered a lot of territory with this.
Yeah, more than we did cogently, too, I would say.
Yeah.
A little bit out there. Is there anything else
to talk about with Rambo? I mean, there's the sequels. Like, I don't think when people, in the cultural consciousness, when they think of Rambo, they're not thinking of imagery from this first movie.
I don't know that they were thinking about it when they made this movie either.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, even my reflections on it, this is just, anecdotal for me. But yeah, it's you don't remember the first movie. You remember all the side stuff.
Do remember the first movie, though.
Because she just watched it.
Yes, I did.
She just watched it.
Well, if I had to give it an Ubrick rating.
Yes, please give me an Ubrick rating right now.
It would be, yeehaw! Good movie.
We're just going to share a moment of stunned silence.
For my dignity.
Moment of silence for Amanda's dignity. All right. Do you have an Ubrick for us?
Bang, bang.
Oh. Bang, bang.
Concerned.
Okay. Oof. Oof.
There were dogs in this movie.
That was not a wolf. That was an oof.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. No. After the dog reminder, I think I need to change my Ubrick to yipe.
Oh.
Sad. All right. Well, we do want to remind everybody that we're professionals.
Don't watch this at home.